The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James. And before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind the scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
After crushing mutant after mutant, the villainous Magneto calls out all of mankind.
All you humans will bow down to me and accept the reign of mutant kind from this day forward. There is no one of this planet who can stop me.
It is then that Azum can both be seen and heard as Omni-Man bursts onto the scene.
How about someone not of this planet then?
Magneto sneers and tosses a pile of debris at Omni-Man, covering him up. But that won't keep a Viltrumite down as he casually tosses the pile off of himself and stares down his magnetic foe. It's Mutant versus Viltrumite. It's Eric versus Nolan. It's Magneto versus Omni-Man. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsy, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stikanis. Today's episode represents a battle that everyone would pay to see in person, but due to the absolute destruction that would be unleashed, fans probably wouldn't be alive to talk about it after. In one corner, you have Magneto, the master of magnetism, and one of Marvel's most iconic mutants, heroes, and anti-villains, versus Omni-Man, a Viltrumite Superman type of warrior from the Invincible Universe sent to Earth to prepare for conquest, but who struggles with his duty to his people and his love for his human family. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. Surprisingly, and I mean surprisingly, this battle has been discussed all over the place online, especially since the introduction of Omni-Man in the Invincible animated series. What can I tell you? It's a great matchup, but it's never gotten the Who Would Win treatment until today. You're welcome, Legion of Audience. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's battle?
I'm intrigued by this battle. This is a double redemption match. Both Omni-Man and Magneto have been on the show once before, and both came out with a surprising loss. I say surprising because I repped both characters in each instance, and clearly Omni-Man should have beaten Naruto, and clearly Magneto should have beaten The Flash. A lot of this seems very obvious to me, both in hindsight as well as the moment. I'm glad and hopeful that we can get a judge on this particular episode, perhaps with a little bit more pedigree, perhaps somebody with a little more gravitas around them. I haven't seen who the judge is just yet, but I am hopeful that we get somebody who knows what they're doing and hasn't in the past been prone to bizarre decisions.
Ray, I'm going to make you so happy.
I'm glad to hear it.
Someday. Not sure when that it is. Look, let me kind of cut back a little bit here. We've been killing it for season six for the Who Would Win show. We really have. Today's episode, really, it's just another Titanic matchup that everyone wants to see. And our efforts for the show, by the way, have been noticed by many people, especially the upper management of Who Would Win. In fact, our judge today is a senior executive who wields power on the show, sometimes fairly, sometimes, you know, not so much. And today, Ray Sicanus, I am betting that this is the episode where this executive finally gives us,
wait a minute,
not just a fair kind of judgment, but also is going to praise us for our overachievement so far in season six.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you saying what I think you're saying right now?
I really think we're on the same page, so probably not, but let's see, because making another appearance on the Who Would Win show. Oh, yeah. It's executive vice president of the Who Would Win podcast.
Oh, yeah, Ray.
I knew you'd love it. It's the host of the Brentfist podcast with Brent Pope. You'll never guess who it is. It's Brent Pope. Brent, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Hey, sorry I was a little bit late. Well, James, you were also a little bit late because we were at our champagne caviar brunch.
That's true.
Didn't have a table for three, unfortunately, Ray.
They never otherwise seem to book those, yeah.
Yeah, look, if Delvin Cox was in town, maybe. Maybe.
But, oh, they definitely, they definitely opened up a seat for Delvin.
Yeah. Anyway, glad to be back, even though, as you know, you have no choice when I come back.
That's true. But listen, before we get into this, Executive VP Brent Pope, please tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, what you've been up to.
Wow. It's just in the aftermath of the strike, which has been a few months ago now. Auditions are coming back. The industry is slowly recovering, and I'm just working on all these different projects. Brentfist with Brent Pope is still going, you know, where you get your Hollywood and great breakfast tips. So that's still going. And hopefully I don't have a new acting job right now. I need one. Somebody give me a job.
Well, I mean, you're very busy as the executive VP of Who Would Win. And I know you've been working on some other great projects, too. More on that later. Listen, I'm not one who likes to go fishing for praise, but I'm going to go fishing for praise for a quick second.
Good.
Executive VP Brent Pope, can you finally admit that both Ray and I'm bringing Ray into this, have been over-delivering so far for season six, what I call our best season ever? Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I think it's been a great season so far. I think every season you guys, because, you know, unlike some people, you guys learn. When you battle each other so many times and you have moves and counter moves and feints, counter feints, and you guys seem to like keep changing your styles, but you have to because you both are adjusting. So, and I think that leads to fans loving it. And I think that leads to people understanding that there's some mastery going on here. But you know what? We can always have super mastery. And that's what I expect. And that's what I demand.
All right, Ray Sicanus, I was going to try to, I don't know, get you a raise. But I don't think we deserve it now unless we prove we each have that level of super mastery. I am all for it. Ray Sicanus, are you ready to deliver that level of super mastery the executive VP of Who Would Win, Brent Pope, needs to see today?
I'm ready for a raise, if that's what you mean. Let's start paying me. Let's go.
One thing at a time. All right, this is going to be fun. Let's do it. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the anti-villain who's got a very magnetic personality, Magneto.
Yeah, I didn't try very hard for that one.
And representing Image Comics, the anti-villain who's never without supplies because he's always got a stash right under his nose, Omni-Man.
Now, I like how you said he was an anti-villain, not an anti-hero, but an anti-villain. I'm not even sure what that is.
It's a new term that's kind of coming about in fiction where you have a character, and both of these, I think, fall under it, where they open up and they come out as a very classic villain opposing all of our protagonists. But somewhere along the lines, because their motivations are pure, their motivations are, in theory, good, even if the rest of the world doesn't see it that way, they do villainous acts. But they do so for, in their minds, very good and noble and empathetic reasons. And so therefore, they're not a villain per se. They're an anti-villain because you can empathize with their motivations for doing the terrible things that they do.
Brent Pope, if that's not deserving of a raise right there, I mean, he just edumacated the whole Legion of Audience like with that. That's all I'm saying.
Send me a check, Brent Pope.
Me too, please. All right, well done right now. Before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each bidder will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and who will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all of the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And now, let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Omni-Man.
Omni-Man, a.k.a. Nolan Grayson, is a Viltrumite who came to Earth to, spoiler alert, conquer it. He was created by Robert Kirkman and Corey Walker and first truly appeared in Invincible number 1 in 2003. I'll be using that comic book version today. The mustachioed father of Invincible. Omni-Man was the greatest hero on planet Earth. That was until it was time to follow through with his reason to be on Earth in the first place. Omni-Man slaughtered the mightiest heroes on the planet before eventually butting heads with and mercilessly beating down his own son, who opposed his plan of world domination. Look, Omni-Man is fast, strong, nigh invulnerable, and also can fly. He's like Superman without all of the extra fiddly powers. Now, fun fact, fans of the TV show might not know this yet, but originally, Omni-Man is portrayed as just a low food trained Viltrumite sent to Earth on a conquer mission. But did you know that later in the series, he discovers that he is so much more? Yes, as it is revealed that he's the heir of Argal, Argal being the big-time leader of the entire planet Viltrum. With Argal being murdered and usurped with his power by Grand Regent Thrag, Omni-Man then turns his attention away from Earth and towards reclaiming his birthright as leader of all the Viltrumites. Now, does he succeed? Hey, why don't you pick up a comic book sometime and find out for yourself. That is Omni-Man.
All I'm going to say is, as great as the animated Invincible series is, because it's absolutely phenomenal, the comic book series is actually better, which is ridiculous. Again, great animated series, read the comic book series. You won't be disappointed. Absolutely fantastic. Hate to say it, hashtag Ray is right in what he just said there. All right, I know, it's crazy. Here are the details for Magneto. Magneto, one of the most powerful and complex characters in the Marvel Comics universe, first appeared in X-Men number 1 in September 1963 and was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. By the way, I'll be using the comic book version, the Marvel 616 universe version of Magneto in this battle. Born Max Eisenhart, later known as Eric Lenscher, Magneto is a Holocaust survivor whose traumatic experiences shaped his worldview, leading him to become the evil mutant master of magnetism. He has the ability to generate and control magnetic fields, allowing him to manipulate metal, fly, and create force fields. Magneto's primary goal is to protect mutant kind from persecution by humans, but his methods, often violent and extreme, put him at odds with the X-Men, who strive for peaceful coexistence between mutants and humans. And here's an interesting fact about Magneto. Did you know that there was supposed to be a standalone Magneto movie? It's true. Back in the mid to late 2000s, the X-Men were gaining steam as a movie franchise, and the villainous Magneto was also becoming more and more popular. As a result, the studios involved with the films came up with what I thought was a genius idea, and for a film that focused just on Magneto. It was outlined to show the events of Magneto's life, from his days in the concentration camp to being saved by Charles Xavier, who was a soldier at the time. He would later be shown actually hunting the Nazis that fled from justice. I'm telling you, I'm all over this already. Everything was set for this movie to be a major success until it hit one little insanely powerful snag that affected the entertainment industry like nothing had before, which was the writer's strike of 2008. Could have been. Yeah, writer's strikes. I get why they happen, but man, do they disrupt a lot. Hopefully we get this movie someday. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Brent, do you have any questions before we get started?
Not really. I mean, I'm kind of equally familiar with both characters because, well, I've read more of the Magneto comic books, but most of my stuff from both of them is from the movies. So the fact that you're both doing comic books, you know, you're going to have to really give me the differences between those and show me who's who's got the better stuff.
I love it. All right, let's get this battle started. Ray, hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Omni-Man. I'm just going to talk about his great power, because Magneto is an amazing character when he uses this magnetism power to do about 9 billion different things. But sometimes when you have a character that's relying on a lot of tricks and a lot of dirty tactics and a lot of, you know, stuff like that, what beats them more than anything else? What beats the Gordian knot? Cutting it in half. That's how you untie the Gordian knot. Omni-Man is that knife in this particular equation. He is ridiculously powerful. Magneto doesn't face a level of pure power like an Omni-Man, basically hardly at all. And that's great. He's fighting a lot of other smaller level mutants, quote unquote, some Omega level mutants. Yeah, whatever. That doesn't matter. We're talking about a guy who once picked up a baseball in Omni-Man and he threw it all the way around the world. The amount of strength necessary, because as we all know, the Earth is flat. So to get a ball to go all the way from one side to the other means it essentially went across the universe, unless I'm mistaken here. But he also uses his strength all over the place. Omni-Man does. He picks up and carries vehicles from cars to trucks to machinery to aircraft. This is a guy who just, you know, he does what Magneto does with his magnetism, but does it with his pure muscles. So he doesn't have to rely on any gimmickry at all. In fact, they would refer to him as 100 ton level strength. As we all know in Marvel, that's as high as you go. So compared to anybody that Magneto would have faced, Omni-Man is as strong, if not stronger. And he flies as well. Flying characters are huge. He flies at a level that I don't think I've seen Magneto fly as well, because he retains massive strength and incredible speeds when he is flying. He flies beyond light speed. And not only can he fly beyond light speed, and often we talk about that, it's just going from point A to point B, he can turn on a dime and has great control to go through it. Remember, this is a guy whose main standard of attacks is to just fly through whatever thing he's fighting, whether it's a being, whether it's a building, whether it's an aircraft, whether it's a spaceship, does not matter. This is a guy who zigzags his way through entire fleets, destroying them all. We've seen that sort of in a Captain Marvel sense in the MCU movies. It's great. He's punched apart giant robots before. He once punched Invincible, his own son, who is also a Superman level power, at least he seemed to be when James was repping him on this show. Well, he punched Invincible through mountains, and that brought down the mountains when he punched Invincible through them. In fact, he once challenged Invincible towards the end of the series when Invincible was this nigh invulnerable character who was surpassing his own father. Omni-Man challenged him to arm wrestling, and he didn't just beat Invincible in arm wrestling. They broke the table, but of course they did. I would expect nothing less. This is a guy in Omni-Man who hits people so hard that the shock waves from the impact make craters in the ground. I love Magneto. I do know that he is a tough character with some great power, but I don't think he can take that kind of a shot when even just hitting someone near you puts a crater in the ground. He's so fast, he doesn't just fly beyond light speed, he's blurry to the human eye to look at. You can't even really get a gauge on where he is because he's so fast all the time when he is fighting. And that's the great point here. I love Magneto. He's one of the most deep villains in all of fiction, absolutely. But Omni-Man is going to move way too fast for him, he's going to hit way too hard for him, and he's just never even going to see it coming, and he will not. If Omni-Man gets one shot at Magneto, it's lights out, and that's my point number one.
All right. Listen, I think you did what I would call an adequate job of representing some of Omni-Man's power levels, but let me push back on a little bit. First of all, you know, Magneto has fought a huge range of opponents, and, you know, he's fought really weak opponents, as you mentioned, like, you know, Apocalypse, Thor, Hercules. These are opponents who are insanely powerful and bring everything to the table and more than Omni-Man can. And Magneto's already fought them a number of times. On top of that, there's really no Magneto equivalent, I believe, within the Invincible universe. And that means that Magneto's bringing something to the table that Omni-Man's not going to be really familiar with or really understand how to fight that well against. Let's see. Omni-Man does not represent, again, anything that Magneto hasn't already faced before. in a Captain Marvel or a Thor. And, you know, in terms of how fast he moves, you gotta remember, Magneto can read, like, the electromagnetic fields of the Earth. So if something's really coming at him super fast, disrupting the electromagnetic fields, he can sense that coming very, very quickly. But there's a whole lot more to this. And let me explain. For my point number one, let's talk about Magneto's powers. Let's just go there. So Magneto, I've already said this, he's one of the most powerful mutants in the Marvel Comics universe. He possesses the ability to generate and control magnetic fields. This means he's got some really cool powers, such as, you know, magnetic field manipulation, where he has control over magnetic forces. He can manipulate magnetic forces to a crazy degree. And to kind of go into that, that means, for example, he's got the power of magnetic flight. He generates these magnetic fields around him, and he can fly, levitate, move at super speed. I will say Omni-Man is faster, but Magneto's no slouch in the speed department either. Magneto's got control over electricity. That's cool. He can generate, manipulate electromagnetic fields with electricity. This enables him to control electric currents and even generate and shoot out lightning. More on that later. He can create insane magnetic force fields. This is fun because everyone in Marvel thinks Susan Storm is the ultimate force field creator. I completely disagree. I think it's Magneto. Look, these force fields protect him from physical attacks, energy attacks. They're strong enough to protect himself, a group of people he wants to put the force field around him. And he can even trap super powerful opponents within a force field, this magnetic force field, and then send the force field wherever he wants. Battlefield removal all day, every day for well over 2 minutes. He can manipulate metal at the molecular level. All that means is he can reshape metal, fuse it, refine the metals. That's because he has the power, this is cool, of ferrokinesis. I didn't know that was a thing. Evidently it is. That just means he's got complete control over metal. It's so powerful. He can extract it from, you know, manipulate like little traces of it if he finds it within, you know, the air or within a person and do some horrible things with that. More on that later. His ferrokinesis enables him to have full control over anything remotely metallic. He can manipulate the metal. You know, this is someone who can rip large structures apart instantly. If there's a bridge, he can just pull it apart, turn into whatever he wants, and shoot it in any way through the air in any direction, in omni directions. It is really cool. He can also assimilate and just kind of build stuff on the fly. This guy's a super genius, by the way. I'll talk more about that later. He can do anything he wants with metal. It's literally his raw building blocks, which he'll just mold into whatever weapon he wants. He once took an aircraft carrier, held it in the air, and said, hey, I can launch this as a weapon. Now I'm going to disassemble all of this and turn this into a bunch of missiles and other kind of weapons and just launch it at whoever it is who's fighting at the time. He can also animate and control metal objects without touching them. This is cool because we saw this. I think it was X-Men number 112 or 112. He animated a statue, brought it to life to attack the X-Men. This is crazy. Let's see. He can also control magnetic field to cause earthquakes and seismic tremors. I'm not sure that's a good thing going to come in this fight, but why not? He can also give himself superhuman strength and durability because he uses these magnetic fields to somehow bolster his body to insane superhuman levels. Look, is he as strong as Omni-Man when he does that? I'm going to say no again, but he's still strong enough to hurt Omni-Man physically. That I am convinced of. Here's a fun one. He's got energy blasts. Now, Magneto can project different types of energy. He's got that magnetic energy blast. This one is the most common. He's capable of destroying pretty much anything. One time, he was under a mountain in some kind of little cave or whatever, and the mountain's above him, the peak's directly above him. He just raises his hand casually and blasts all the way through the mountain like it was nothing. He's got electrical blasts as well. These are super powerful beams of electric energy that can hurt even like Thor, which is weird because Thor you think could control electricity as well, God of Thunder. And he can shoot plasma blasts because why not? This is just superheated states of matter. He shoots his plasma. I'm not going to get into the science of it. All I'm saying, there's a lot that Magneto brings to the table, and I haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet. That's my point number one.
Look at what Magneto needs to achieve a fraction of Omni-Man's power. All the things you said he could do with his magnetic powers are things Omni-Man does with his hands. You talk about he needs a magnetic powers to rip open a mountain. Omni-Man just punches upward and the mountain flies away. What are we talking about? And you notice all of those characters that James brought up, you know, the Apocalypse, the, you know, Captain Marvel. You notice how James said, and he does this, he fought them. Magneto has fought these characters. You notice James didn't say the word beat these characters. No, he stood on a battlefield at one point with these characters. Didn't mention any victories, did he? That should tell you everything you need to know. That omission is glaring. And the James has already lost his battle, and I'll tell you why. We'll talk about, okay, I'll tell you why later. I'll hold the spoiler alert. James already blew it. I'm just going to say, as far as speed goes, Magneto does not have a super power durable body. He is an older man. He can't go the speed of light. He can go fast in human terms. He can't go fast in Viltrumite terms. Omni-Man was made for this. Magneto sadly was not.
You know, I just hope that there are some instances of Magneto beating some very powerful characters.
It's a pity
not
there
just
aren't.
Fighting them. We'll have to see how this goes. All right, Brent Pope, Executive VP Brent Pope, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
This is kind of a weird place to be at for me right now, because James has freely admitted that Omni-Man is stronger, he's faster, and yet I know that James is not going to say that without having something hidden for later. And if I was Ray, I would concern me a little bit. Maybe Ray knows what that is.
Not worried at all.
I'll say this, just for a first round, I'm going to say that since Magneto does have a little more of a unique skill set that the Omni-Man may not have seen before, that as we start off in the battle, I'm just going to say that because it's the first round, that it's going to be invincible. Omni-Man is going to have to figure out what Magneto's doing first, and maybe he does, and later he overtakes him, because as we've established, he's stronger and faster. But you're going to have to show me how that happens, Ray, because I think Omni-Man's up by just a little bit right now.
Very
not
cool.
Omni-Man, sorry.
No, you said it. No tixies, backsies.
Listen, he's the executive VP. Enough, he can do whatever he wants. Go ahead and say what you like, good sir.
Well,
and
what I meant to say is Omni-Man is a little bit behind right now, but as we, you know, you've got plenty of time, Ray. You've got two more rounds, and he's faster and stronger, so.
Shouldn't be hard.
Look, this is what happens when we go. One of us is slightly ahead always. Maybe it's a tie point number one, but the game is still up. There's no clear winner just yet. Let's see what happens. We'll be right back for point number two.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two, I talked about with great power. Well, that with great power for Omni-Man comes great invulnerability. He doesn't take damage hardly at all. It is said that he has exceptional recuperative powers, right? So he has a great healing factor. He has an incredible endurance. This guy fought a dragon. I believe, was it a dragon? It was like for 10 hours straight and then came home for dinner a little bit late. He has a deep resistance to pretty much every standard way that you would get hurt. And that includes essentially everything that Magneto could possibly throw at him. And Omni-Man can hold his breath for 2 weeks straight in space while he is flying. So he really doesn't need to breathe per se. He does, but he doesn't. And he keeps going forever and ever and ever. I don't think old man Magneto can quite match this level of endurance that Omni-Man has. He will get exhausted eventually. And his skin, Omni-Man's, can withstand extreme temperatures as well. So he can withstand extreme cold, extreme heat. Magneto is just not that guy, near that I can tell. Also, easily, Omni-Man can survive in the vacuum of space. I don't know that Magneto has enough metal out there to shield him from the vacuum. I don't know. I just don't know that he can do those things. Now, we've seen Omni-Man in the comics take hellacious beatings from supremely powered characters, Invincible, all these people from Earth, all these people from space. And often at the ends of these battles, Omni-Man shows no evidence of damage whatsoever. This is a guy who just sort of is there and you can't do anything to him. He's that rough and tough and powerful. There was a moment when he's trying to protect another character and a bunch of younger Viltrumites, you know, superboys, if you will, are all flying, trying to get at her. And he's acting as a human shield between the two of them. And these young Viltrumites are slamming into Omni-Man at high rates of speed and splattering like bugs on a windshield. We are talking about Superboy equivalents here, going right on the back of Omni-Man while he's trying to do it. So what's going to happen when Magneto throws a girder at him? I'll tell you, absolutely nothing. And another weird thing about Omni-Man is that even when he gets beat down, let's see, Magneto somehow does some damage to him over the course of this battle. Cool thing is, Omni-Man never seems to lose his full strength. You don't weaken Omni-Man during the fight. He keeps hitting you just as hard, even if he's been wrecked a little bit as he's going through his recovery. This is a guy who survived getting punched through his torso by the Thrag character that I mentioned before, Grand Regent Thrag. And Thrag was kind of like the biggest bad of the entire universe at that point. And it's one of the few times that I would say he lost. We'll get more into that a little bit later. But this is a character in Omni-Man who cleans his costume with solar radiation from the sun. That's how he cleans his costume. Radiation is going to, I think, damage Magneto very, very hard. And I absolutely see a situation where Omni-Man either just flies right through Magneto, through any force field that he attempts to try to throw up, and splatters him like a bug, or grabs him and flies him into the sun where he will be in trouble, because atmospheric damage means nothing to Omni-Man. Also, and I found this out actually doing the research, the brain of a Viltrumite does not need oxygen to survive. It's because he's an alien, right? He's not from this planet. His brain does not need oxygen. So any of these dirty tricks that mess with the internal body of Omni-Man that Magneto might try just plain aren't going to work, because he's going to keep hitting as hard and as fast, and he can keep going despite these injuries. I don't know how Magneto scratches Omni-Man, much less brings him down in battle. And that's my point number two.
You know, again, I think Omni-Man and the Viltrumites in general within the Invincible Universe kind of like stand, you know, head and shoulders above almost everything else, almost. Because the problem is, in the Invincible Universe, Omni-Man does take damage from Earth-based opponents. He has been hurt. He does bleed. He's been cut open. And as you mentioned, Ray, he did get his incited places ripped out by Thrag, another very powerful Viltrumite. So there is ways for him with enough power, what have it, to be damaged. Also, he has been restrained before. We saw that when he fought the Galactic Guardians, or the Guardians of the Globe, or what have you. And that's something that Magneto can do really well and has done to opponents more powerful than Omni-Man as well. There's an opponent or character within the Invincible Universe called Space Racer. This is a really cool character. And he rides like a space motorcycle, and he's got this gun that shoots this type of energy. And they think it's electromagnetic energy that whatever it hits, it completely, completely destroys. You got to remember, Magneto can shoot almost any type of energy he needs to. I'm not saying he's shooting the same type, but it just shows that Viltrumites especially are vulnerable to powerful blasts of energy, something Magneto can do in a very, very big way. I think that's really it. You know, radiation's not going to get through Magneto's shields, which he has on at all times. But let me get to my point number two to talk about this. For my point number two, let's talk about more fun facts about Magneto. Now, right away, I mentioned this. He's got a genius IQ. He's got a genius IQ. He's a tactical genius as well. Magneto, as you know, Ray loves to say about Iceman, but this is really true for Magneto. He's an omega level mutant, which just means he's a mutant who possesses powers that are limitless. Yeah, his upper limit can't be measured. Let's go over what that means, okay? He's got interplanetary electromagnetic manipulation. His power of overmagnetism is so strong, he can pull objects from far into space to Earth towards himself. He pulled a giant metallic bullet that got phased through the Earth because Kitty Pryde was on it. She used her phasing powers to save the Earth, so let it phase through, but it kept going and was light years away. Magneto actually used his magnetism to pull it back to Earth gently and safely from light years away to save his friend at the time, anyway, Kitty Pryde. He rebuilt and held together a dying Celestial. A Celestial is one of the most powerful beings in the Marvel Universe. This thing is about 2,000 feet tall. It literally dwarfs Godzilla both in size and power. Remember, Celestials can, you know, destroy planets, create planets, all that kind of good stuff. And he put one back together while holding in air with his powers. Magneto's ability, okay, to manipulate magnetism is so freaking strong, he disassembled the Avengers Quinjet and used the metal to trap a character named Wonder Man inside of it. Now, Wonder Man is this insanely powerful class 100 person. He's actually an actor in Hollywood trying to make a go of it. And on the side, he's an Avenger. He's insanely powerful with like an energy-based thing, but he's got all the same powers as Omni-Man, plus some other cool energy-based things as well. He got trapped within metal because Magneto traps the person within the metal and then reinforces it with his own insanely interplanetary level magnetism. Good luck dealing with that. On top of that, Magneto's powers also allow him to like kind of assemble complex machinery. This is kind of weird and cool. So if he needs to assemble something, because again, he's a genius, like a machine on the fly or anything he needs to, a catapult, whatever, he can do that just with a wave of his hand, a thought of his, you know, from his mind. And all of a sudden he's got this crazy machine of metal developed right there, put together, ready to be used in any way he wants. He's put together lasers and what have you. This is someone who knows weaponry inside out. Let's talk about his shields. Let's just revisit it for a second. His shields are so freaking strong. They can withstand, this is from the Marvel Wiki, by the way, a number of simultaneous nuclear bombs going off at ground zero, literally right beside him. His force field's up and nothing's going to happen to him whatsoever. Thor and the She-Hulk at the same time, with Thor using Mjolnir, couldn't break through Magneto's shields at all. It couldn't do anything to him. And keep in mind that Magneto always, as in always, has a shield surrounding him in case of an unexpected attack. It's really cool. So even if Omni-Man speed blitzes him, the magnetic base shield is going to protect him long enough to start mounting that offense. Now, let's talk about something that people don't know. Magneto's got armor. This is cool. Now, the costume or the uniform Magneto wears is a type of armor that he's created through the use of his power somehow. And this costume is actually a whole bunch of various lightweight, metallic, durable alloys that somehow protect him as well. And then when he puts his magnetic powers into it, this becomes an insanely durable kind of lightweight, metallic, malleable thing he wears. It's at least a level above durability of Iron Man's armor, which allows him to take shots. But again, he's got his force field up anyway. This is cool. Oh, fun fact, Magneto can also open portals and using his other powers can move opponents into the portals or through them, or have the portal move through the opponent he's facing. You got to remember, Omni-Man was someone who actually voluntarily went through a portal and took himself off of planet Earth. This is something that he doesn't have a defense or a solution to. If he goes through a portal, gets pushed through one, he gets taken to another place in the galaxy somewhere or someplace wherever in another planet. He's not coming back that fast. 2 minutes, Magneto wins. And if all of that, it wasn't enough. Here's a fun one. Magneto can use the sun's electromagnetic field to power himself up even more. I'm not saying he goes into the sun. He just can focus the sun's whatever electromagnetic waves, and now he can boost up his own power because he's already using the entirety of the planet Earth. His power is limitless. Let's add some sun into the equation. All of this turns into an insane. Oh, you know what? I did forget one last thing. Evidently, Magneto can also teleport because he can manipulate magnetic waves somehow to make this a thing. Now, I'm not saying he's teleporting millions of miles away, but he can teleport in such a way to remove someone from the field of battle or to just go a short distance and kind of get a better position. Remember, Omni-Man has a problem with people who can teleport. As we saw when Cecil, the leader of that government agency, was talking to him, Omni-Man wasn't fast enough to even lay a hand on him. Cecil was able to teleport short distances away and around Omni-Man while he was talking to him. All of that is why I'm saying good luck, Omni-Man, because that's my point number two.
I mean, look, Magneto creates a giant super weapon out of metallic stuff around around him, and Omni-Man, in the blink of an eye, cracks it in half with his fist. These weapons will do nothing. These weapons are nothing. They're barely distractions. And you talked about the portals, and yes, Magneto can open up wormholes. I haven't seen in the comics him using them offensively. Usually he's using that to just transport himself, transport people he's with to another place very, very quickly. I haven't seen him like throw one up and throw someone in it. That's not one of his go-to moves. So I would think for this battle, he could use it to escape, and he probably should want to. I could see that, but I don't see it actually mattering in that way. And the reaction time. I would argue that Omni-Man moves so fast, Magneto at the end of the day is not a Cecil-level reaction time. Magneto needs to be able to react to something in order to have a defense to it. One of the characters in comics who consistently beats Magneto, do you know who it is? Quicksilver. Quicksilver moves too fast for Magneto to do the things he needs to do. He gets speed blitzed by Quicksilver. It has happened multiple times, including in the House of M storyline, and he loses to very fast character Quicksilver all the time. I might make the argument Omni-Man is even faster.
Interesting. I actually love that argument because I can see why someone would say Quicksilver's faster or Omni-Man's faster. Anyway, that's for another debate whatsoever, because right now we are at the turning point. Brent Pope, executive VP of the Who Would Win show, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points for both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Well, I think that was an interesting round. I like some of the things you said in your point number two, Ray, but I don't know that they helped your argument that much. I think where Ray made the most hay, actually, was in his rebuttal to James, where he did mention that Quicksilver, who's very fast, has defeated Magneto multiple times. And, you know, even James said that it's kind of debatable who's faster. So that means they're kind of in the same ballpark. So I'm going to say that Ray made up the ground and you guys are pretty much dead even going into round number three.
Wow. Okay. We have been here a million times, which means this battle's up for grabs. Let's see where it goes. We'll be right back for point number three.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. Ray, this is it. Let's see what's going to happen. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three for Omni-Man. We're going to put this all together right now because he defeated, Omni-Man did, a group called the Guardians of the Globe. And when it talks about beating a team, it often does take a team to beat Magneto. But Magneto's lost to the X-Men in battle so many times and so many small iterations. You know, he lost to a team of what, Wolverine, Jean Grey, and Colossus. Two of those characters shouldn't be able to even get near him, quite honestly, but he lost to that team. He lost in a very early battle to a barely trained teenager squad of X-Men. Magneto has lost a lot of times. However, when it comes to fighting against teams, Omni-Man defeated the Guardians of the Globe. Omni-Man defeated the Guardians of the Globe, which, James, you're really referring to the TV show version which is similar but different to the comic book version of the way that that battle unfolded. Because he beat all the members of the Guardians of the Globe, the Justice League equivalent of his world, and that was the rough equivalent of Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash, Batman, Martian Manhunter, and the Immortal. That was essentially the crew, and he was the seventh member of that. And in the cartoon show, it actually hurt really bad. He had a really rough battle. He was bleeding by the end of it. He was like beat down really bad, near death. But in the comic books, when he fought that crew, he caught them by surprise, used speed blitzing attacks to his advantage, and they were not ready for that. And he did it all in 2 pages, and all the blood that was on him was not of his own. He wiped this team in the comic books. Huge difference between these two properties. Now, he does have enhanced senses, which means whatever Magneto's going to do, you know, he could see him, he could hear him, he could smell him. There's no way Magneto's going to hide from Omni-Man. And if Omni-Man knows where you are, he is coming to get you with a speed that you have no answer for. In fact, Omni-Man is also better tactically. He has spent his entire life destroying planets. This is a guy who goes to a planet and conquers the planet by himself. That's what he does. Magneto hasn't really had a lot of success doing that on the planet Earth. And I would argue Omni-Man's gone to more powerful places than Earth and gotten it done. This guy has been a military officer. He's trained combat and tactics of the military, and he's been doing it for 2,000 years. Magneto ain't no 2,000-year-old man, but Omni-Man's whole deal is conquering planets and has been doing so successfully for 2,000 years. So he has a massive tactical advantage, a massive knowledge basis with which to pull. In fact, on Earth, when he shows up and he tries to blend in, he has to dumb down and pull back his attacks in a massive way because he tries very hard not to kill people because that's scary. He wants people to like him, so he has to pull back. Once he reveals what's going on, he stops pulling back and is murdering people. Essentially, no weaknesses to speak of, and he has had 3 losses. There are so many Magneto losses, you can't count them, right? But Omni-Man's only lost 3 times in the comic books, and each and every one of those losses, you could say pretty easily, he was fighting somebody more powerful than himself. What did James... He has never lost to somebody not as powerful as himself. What was important about what James said and why he lost in point number one? Because he flat out told us, Omni-Man is more powerful than Magneto. If that's the case, and Omni-Man has never lost a battle to somebody less powerful than himself, it stands to reason he's going to speed blitz Magneto and take him out here. And the biggest thing that Omni-Man ever did, he destroyed the planet Viltrum. He destroyed the homeworld. How did he do it? He punched a hole in it. If you can punch a hole in an entire planet of Superman, planet Krypton, basically, and you can detonate the planet, I don't care what kind of magnetic force field Magneto is putting up. That set of nuclear bombs, that's great. He's hitting with a power well beyond that. And when he drops one hammer on Magneto, that guy is an old man who is done. Again, I love Magneto. This matchup, he's not fast enough to react based on the Quicksilver argument. And Omni-Man's never lost to somebody who can't hang with that. That's my point number 3.
All right, let me use something that a wise person, I'm using air quotes from a wise person, once told me, which is, you know, when a character has over 50 to 60 years of history, of course they're going to have a series of losses and wins against characters because that's part of their history. That's what you got to do with a character. That wise person was Ray Stecanus. Thank you, Ray, for bringing that up. That's why he's got some losses, but he's also got way more wins against all these characters. Now, Omni-Man has constantly been what I call the biggest, toughest guy in the room. And that's cool. And what happens when that biggest, toughest guy goes up against, as much as I like him, against someone who's their level, never mind slightly more, they get wrecked, which is what happens to Omni-Man the few times that does occur. But you got to understand something about Magneto. Number one, he won't be holding back. And this isn't, you know, like the Guardians of the Globe who were betrayed, where Omni-Man used subterfuge and, you know, because they didn't know he was turning against. Magneto knows this is an opponent he's facing off with right away. He's not going to hold back. He loves to hurt people and destroy people a lot. That's just part of his thing. And here's the thing, you know, I did agree that Magneto is not as strong as Omni-Man, but Magneto is absolutely way more powerful. He's not as physically strong, but he's way more powerful in what he can do with his powers, the damage he can do, and how he can just wreck people, no matter how powerful they are. And let me get to my point number three, because this is all going to get clear. For my point number three, let's talk about big wins for Magneto and ways he can defeat Omni-Man. Okay, so let's just go down this. Magneto, he defeated Apocalypse in the Age of Apocalypse. And how did he beat Apocalypse? Someone with unlimited super strength, durability, you know, power, the ability to manipulate matter. There was like no one who could touch him physically. He was the biggest guy in the room. I was just talking about him. Well, Magneto just unleashed his power and killed Apocalypse by literally tearing him in half. That's what he did. He took the most powerful person who pretty much ruled the earth and tore him in half to defeat him. That's what Magneto can do when he unleashes what he's got. Also, Magneto's insanely vicious. It was a cool thing. There's a lot of people Magneto's beaten, but let's just mention the ones that are kind of important for this battle. So first of all, he beat Iron Man a number of times. He also beat Iron Man when Iron Man was using some kind of crazy powerful armor. That's really cool. He's also beat Quicksilver a number of times. You got to remember, Quicksilver is his son, and Magneto does love his children a lot. He loves mutants. He loves his kids, Pietro and Wanda, and very often he's holding back against his kids. He still has a ton of victories over Quicksilver. With that being said, you know who's not his kid? Omni-Man. I'll just leave it at that. Let's see. He beat Namor. Namor is a tough-ass individual. A lot of tendencies similar to Omni-Man. Namor versus Omni-Man might be a cool fight as well down the road, but he beat Namor. While holding Thor captive with his magnetic shield, Magneto, while holding Thor captive, right, turns to Vision, and with one blast of his power, beats the Vision from the Avengers. The Vision's insanely powerful. He beat the Juggernaut. That's a fun one. Now, how do you do that? How do you beat the Juggernaut? Because who can stop the Juggernaut? Well, Magneto just uses control over magnetic fields to manipulate the metal in Juggernaut's armor, the trace pieces of metal, and locked Magneto into place so he couldn't move and stopped his momentum, and Magneto couldn't actually get through. And he also transmuted the trace of the metal into something that was almost adamantium-like in terms of durability, and Magneto was stopped. He could hold Magneto in place, not even with a force field, just by transmuting his costume with trace elements of metal. Fun one, of course, he beat Wolverine. How did he do it? He ripped out the adamantium and then bent the adamantium in the air and shaped it, because that's what he likes to do. I don't think that really applies. He's just like, just a fun fact. Let's see. He beat the Phoenix. Now, the Phoenix is this intergalactic, fiery, bird-like being that can destroy planets that Galactus is afraid of, and Magneto beat it. That is crazy. In terms of teams, of course, he's beaten the X-Men quite a few times. He's also beaten the Avengers quite a few times by himself, solo. That is insane. Now, if you want a direct comparison, I guess, between Omni-Man and opponents Magneto's beaten, he's actually beaten Hercules from the Marvel Universe. Hercules, by the way, in one series, had Magneto in a bear hug, which is something Hercules is known for. And the only other person who's ever broken out of Magneto's bear hug was the Beyonder, who was the actual personification of a universe, right? That's that being, and that's who got out of Hercules' bear hug first. The second one, Magneto, did the same thing, and so far, those are the only two people who've ever escaped. Hercules is the Greek gods, or whatever he is, the bear hug. Let's see, on top of that, give me one sec. Oh, it's there. On top of that, he even beat the Red Hulk, because, you know, that's a fun thing to do. And get this, he's even beaten Thor while Thor had Mjolnir. That's right, Magneto has beaten Thor while Thor had Mjolnir. If you can beat Thor with his hammer, you're beating Omni-Man. I don't care who you are. See, Magneto's got, he's just faced and beaten opponents with similar power sets to Omni-Man, but who are just way, way more powerful. I don't care what you say about Omni-Man, because he's great. He is not as powerful as Thor, never mind Thor with his hammer. Omni-Man, as far as I can tell, I've said this before, he's never faced anyone like Magneto, and I don't think there's an equivalent to Magneto within the Invincible Universe. Now, with all that said, here's how Magneto is going to take on Omni-Man. He can control the iron in Omni-Man's blood and make it do horrible things to his insidey places, including his brain and his body. This is something he's done to insanely powerful beings before, where he just controls the iron in their body and makes it do horrible things. He can transmute the molecular structure of Omni-Man's clothes, have have it locked in place so he can't move in the same way he did with a Juggernaut. He can open a portal and send Omni-Man through it and defeat him by battlefield removal. Remember, Omni-Man has no answer for getting pushed through a portal. He could hit Omni-Man with nonstop and continuous blasts of electricity and electromagnetic power. That's hurt him before. Or he could beat him just by encasing him in a super powerful force field in the same way he trapped Thor and kept him there for way more than 2 minutes. You know, the 2 minutes you need to win a Who Would Win fight. Again, Magneto is that one opponent that has just so many abilities and ways to beat Omni-Man that Omni-Man has no answer for and no previous experience facing. Come at him with super speed. Trust me, he's faced it with Quicksilver. He's dealt with it. He knows what's happening. He's got the tools. Omni-Man's going down. That's my point number three.
I mean, I know you wish a lot of these things were going to be happening, James, but it's just not even true. You talked about the blood and the iron being used in offensive material. That's normally very good. Except that Omni-Man is an alien Viltrumite. We don't actually know the physiology of Viltrumites. We don't know that there is any iron in their blood to be manipulated. So you are making a spurious claim at best, unless you can find some examples that show that Viltrumite blood has iron in it. It's not human. Humans do. He ain't human. Look, Iron Man, a character you would think that Magneto would beat flawlessly and easily since he's wearing an iron suit. In X-Men versus Avengers, or should I say Avengers versus X-Men comics, Iron Man beat Magneto senseless. Magneto had no answers for anything Iron Man could do. He also has been shown to have a weakness to speed. Of course, Quicksilver beats him like a drum repeatedly, and Omni-Man is known for his speed blitz attacks. I also mentioned that Omni-Man has only lost 3 times, and each time he was fighting well above his own weight class, and hung in that battle and before eventually losing. You admitted in point number one, this is not an example of that. Look, at the end of the day, you're right. Quicksilver might be Magneto's son. But I'll tell you right now, Omni-Man is also his daddy. And that's all I have to say about that.
So creepy. So creepy. All right, Brett Pope, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Brent has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members of the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we have a patron of the week, Big Tuna, joining us today. Big Tuna, it is your day.
Ooh, Big Tuna. All right. When you have someone as big as Big Tuna, you got to have him go against someone very significant. Let's have him go up against one of Batman's most dangerous and big opponents. Let's have him go up against Bane.
Bane. Now, the cool thing about Big Tuna is he has some of these abilities, sort of like, I believe, the character Vixen, with the ability to become animalistic and take on the form of an animal of varying sizes. Thus, obviously, Big Tuna is the name. Normally an aquatic foe. So when Bane attempts to fight Big Tuna, one thing Bane has to do is go to where Big Tuna is. So Bane finds himself on an oil rig in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And that is not a place where Bane is going to have any kind of great advantage, because the first thing Big Tuna does is knock out all the supports of the oil rig, dropping it into the water. Now, if Bane can't get on 2 feet, Bane is going to have a very hard time. Bane knows how to wrestle against humans with human pressure points. But when Big Tuna becomes a 5,000-pound fish, a tuna, if you will, he absolutely has no answer. He can't get a grip. He's too slick. He doesn't know where the pressure points are. He's a fish. And Big Tuna bodies Bane to the bottom of the ocean, where Bane does not have any answers. Sorry, Bane. Bad matchup for you. You shouldn't have gone messing in Big Tuna's corner.
I mean, this is just so ridiculous because, yeah, this fight never should have happened in the first place. All right, sorry, Bane, but congratulations, Big Tuna. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Brent, Executive VP of the Who Would Win Show, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this fight between Magneto and Omni-Man.
Okay. Well fought by both of you. I think you both argued very well, maybe at a super mastery level. I don't know. Maybe we're there. Maybe we're not quite there, but let's always keep striving for more, guys. Let's start with like comparing some of the like things I thought they were important in this battle. You both talked about how they both fought and defeated their own sons. Omni-Man defeated Invincible by knocking him through a mountain. That's pretty impressive. James, you also mentioned that Magneto had defeated Quicksilver. Although he had lost to him a few times, you said maybe he was holding back. Okay. maybe he was holding back. But I think that if he's as strong as you say he is, and as powerful as you say he is, that he still could hold back and not take an L against Quicksilver. And you admit he did lose to Quicksilver several times. So that's probably a little bit in Rey's favor. Those things in mind, this is still a very close battle. I guess what it maybe comes down to for me is we know that Omni-Man is going to attempt a speed blitz. And we've seen Magneto have a speed blitz from Quicksilver before. The difference is Quicksilver is a human and Omni-Man is an alien that's like Superman. And I don't think he's seen this kind of Superman speed blitz before. And I'm not sure he can handle that. In fact, I'm pretty sure he can't. But he could still do his thing with the portal. As you've mentioned, Rey, he usually seems to do that to escape, not to remove somebody from the battlefield most of the time. So I'm going to say that if he's going to use a portal, he's going to try to escape. So I don't think that's another way that Magneto can win. So what it comes down to is the other thing, he has the Superman speed blitz, and he also has that Tom Selleck beautiful mustache. Who can resist that mustache? I don't think even Magneto can resist that mustache. And I'll say this, there's not 1 ounce of metal in that mustache, so Magneto can't get anything for that. Now, ultimately, the winner of this battle is James's honesty, because James said Magneto is not as strong and Magneto's not as fast. And then maybe he tried to walk it back by saying he's less strong, but more powerful. That seemed like some nonsense to me. Look, the winner here today has to be Omni-Man.
Wow. Do I ever disagree with this decision? Thank you for the honesty. Kudos. That's all cool. But here's the deal. Just like what you normally do, Brent Pope, you talked it out, you thought it out, you've got logic behind it. I can see what you're saying, but I still disagree. I still think Magneto's taking on... Look, when you're taking on Thor, who also moves at crazy super speed, you're not really worried about Omni-Man. You got to win over Thor. Omni-Man's not a big deal. But I respect, even though I disagree, I respect your decision because it was masterfully laid out and really well thought, and you did respect my honesty. That's cool. Race to Canis, I got to congratulate you. This could not have been an easy match. Well done on your victory. How do you feel knowing that you finally got a win?
Did you see what I did in point number one? Did you see how I said James has already doomed himself with his own words, and then I was smart? I didn't just hit him with it and give him a chance to recover. I waited and waited like Kraven the Hunter chasing his prey. Check it out from Sony Pictures later this year. Or don't. I don't care. I make no money off of it. They didn't ask me to be in it. The point I'm trying to make is James fell into a trap, and I closed the trap, and even the most nonsensical, intoxicating mind fog on the planet could get him out. Once Omni-Man gets that shot, you do not come back.
Brent, did I follow your advice correctly and kind of like, you know, make sure that Rey had a chance this time? I got the memo you sent me last week. Did I do what you wanted?
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Luke. It's good for the show. Let's cut this. Make sure this isn't in the final edit of the show.
Okay.
One other thing I want to say, James, is another thing I think that worked in Omni-Man's favor is, you know, we talked about how, the Juggernaut had the metal in his helmet or in his costume, and he was able to use that. The difference between these two characters, and one of you said it, might have been Rey, Magneto has to do a lot of things for his power. He has to use a lot of things for his power, and Omni-Man is the power. So Omni-Man could choose to just like take his entire costume off and just fight buck naked.
Mm-hmm,
because he is the weapon. I think that's another thing it was very well fought, James. I think it's a tough matchup, actually.
It was a tough matchup. Again, I completely disagree with where you came from, Executive VP Brent Pope. But you know what? We'll talk about it over champagne and caviar.
Absolutely.
Sunday
always.
Tennis. Yeah, it's all good. All right, listen, Brent Pope, come back, please. Even though it's questionable what you said today, it was awesome the way you said it. Come back on the show, bring back your magic, and do what only you can do. Until then, tell the Legion of Audience where they can find you online.
Find me on Breakfast with Brent Pope. That is on my website, brentpope.com, where Hollywood meets great food. James, Rey, you've both been on the show. A lot of other great people have been on the show. And, you know, you can still find my show With Love on Prime. That's a great show that I was on for a few episodes there. If you like a nice little rom-com, and I do. And, you know, upcoming to some other shows soon, I'm sure. And I've got a bunch of other projects that I can't really talk about right now. But you know how that goes.
Very cool. All right, Race to Cadence, congratulations on another really well-earned victory. Tell the Legion of Audience where they can find you.
I would argue that greatness is hard to define. I would argue that it's one of those deals where you know it when you see it, but you can't quantify it. A little bit like Omni-Man's power. When I look in the mirror every day, I know I'm seeing it. This was not a challenge for me. Magneto is a character I know very well. Omni-Man is a character I know very well. I've repped both of them on the show before. I was really eager to get Omni-Man, one of my favorite anti-villains in fiction, back and forward into the winner's circle. I did feel that he got unfairly judged last time, and it took the brilliance of executive VP of the Who Would Win show, Brent Pope, to, let's just face it, listen what I was talking and hear the words that I was saying. Greatness is spelled with just one G, and that makes me the top G. Sorry, other guy. You could find me on Threads at Almighty Ray 316.
Brent, would it have helped you if I said there was a deleted scene where Magneto uses Earth's magnetic fields to move at light speed?
Well, possibly, James. Possibly.
Don't you dare bring that up.
I'll bring it up next time. All right, you can find me and Ray Sicanus on his favorite platform, Twitter, a.k.a. X.
Don't know what that is.
You can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavs. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Sicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Sup everyone, Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.